إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray His steadfast blessings and His benediction upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to also the members of His respected household, His companions, and those who follow His footsteps until the last day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we continue with mentioning some of the benefits in the fourth hadith of Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah of Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. And if we do not forget, the Imam Al-Nawawi, he mentioned to us at the beginning of his book in his Muqaddimah that he said, ثم التزم في هذه الأربعين أن تكون صحيحة. That he is going to be sure, بإذن الله, that every hadith that he puts in Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah, they will be authentic hadith. He says, وَمُعْظَمُهَا مِنْ صَحِيحَيْ الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمِ. He said, most of the hadith in his Arba'un will be from the two authentic collections of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, alayhim rahmatullah. So, and that's why some of the scholars rule that every hadith we see in Al-Arba'un of Al-Nawawiyyah, even when Al-Imam al-Nawawi does not say to us that وَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ, this hadith is sahih, the hadith is sahih in his own ruling, alayhi rahmatullah. So one of the ways to know the ahkam of Al-Imam al-Nawawi regarding some of the hadith is to look at his Arba'un, whether he has mentioned the hadith in his Arba'un. If he has mentioned the hadith in his Arba'un, the meaning is that in his judgment, in his ruling on that hadith, the hadith is authentic. The second, from those things he said, he makes the conditions for compiling the book. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, that وَفِي كُلِّ حَدِيثٍ مِنْهَا, that every hadith of the 40 hadith that he has compiled in the Arba'un, he said, وَفِي كُلِّ حَدِيثٍ مِنْهَا قَاعِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنْ فَوَائِدِ الدِّينِ, that we are going to find a great foundation from the foundations of Islam in every of the hadith. In every of the hadith, we are going to see issues that upon it, a lot of other issues are based. So when we read Bunya Islam wa Al-Khamsa, a lot of other issues are based on it. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, a lot of other issues are based on it. So the same thing applies as regards the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that we read. he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman nutfatan thumma yakunu 'alaqatan mithla dhalik thumma yakunu mudghatan mithla dhalik thumma yursalu ilayhi al-malak fayanfukhu fihi ar-ruh wa yumaru bi 4 kalimat bikasbi rizqihi wa ajalihi wa 'amalihi wa shakiyyun aw sa'id فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع ويعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع ويعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها. So this hadith, whose meaning or interpretation we had tried to go through last week, definitely will also contain, like he said, alayhi rahmatullah, will also contain qa'idatun azimatun min qa'idatun. It also contains some very, very great foundations from the fundamentals, from the basic principles of Islam. This hadith contains them, which would also imply that it would be applicable to so many issues as far as the Sharia is concerned. So today, inshallah, we want to look at some of the issues, some of them, and maybe make them just matters of discussion, discuss them, mention what the scholars have said about those issues that are connected with the meaning of this hadith, so which will make it easy for us to say that's from the sake of this hadith. So bringing some basic rulings of the Sharia, what the scholars have mentioned about some of the things that this hadith that we have read, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, contains. From that is what the hadith itself begins with. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi. That each of you, all of you, your creation is brought about, your existence is brought about in the womb of your mother. The first implication of this statement is that the mother of a child is the one who carries the child in the womb. He says, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. It implies, from the fiqh of this hadith, is that the one who carries the child in the womb is the mother of the child. This ruling will make us understand some matters that has to do with what the scientists now call surrogate motherhood. We'll come back to that, inshallah. That is, we'll come back to that in Allah, what surrogacy means. It's a surrogate motherhood. What does it mean? We'll come back to that. Because they will say, if the egg is fertilized by the male sexual sex cells and it is placed in the womb of another woman who has the capability to sustain the pregnancy, maintain it, and then give birth to the child, there is a question. This is not a moral question. It is a matter of the genes. Morality and the genes are not separated in Islam. So it has to do with who is then the mother of the child. Is it the one who donated the egg, or the one who actually gives birth to the child? So the one who sustained that pregnancy, she's not the original owner of the egg, but she's the one who sustained the pregnancy. She's referred to as a surrogate mother of the child. So the question that comes to them is, who is the mother of the child as far as the Sharia is concerned? So this hadith makes us understand that the one who bore pregnancy is the mother. But we'll come back to that, bismillah, the issue of surrogate. We'll mention some of what the scholars have mentioned left and right. There are other verses of the Quran that indicate so. When we come to the matter of surrogate motherhood, we'll mention it, inshallah. So this hadith mentions that there is a fusion of the male and the female nutfa. We mentioned that each of them is referred to as nutfa. The nutfa of the male the nook of the ceiling. It is possible that from modern science that the fusion does not take place inside the womb. The fusion takes place outside the woman. That the fusion takes place by the removal of the egg of a woman and the semen of a man. Because in some cases, the semen of the man, the sperm cells are weak. As many as they are, we said that the scientists say that between 300 to 400 million sex cells are released at every or in every ejaculation. If about 400 million cells are sperm cells are released, but they could still not be capable. And don't forget, despite their incapability, it is possible that we said some of them get destroyed right from the female sexual organ, from the edge of it, because they also secrete some chemicals, some of which destroy these sperm cells from men. And we said that makes for, in cases, reduction of the number of cells that are able to swim to the tube in which the egg of the woman comes, from which it comes down, because it's also moving. We described that last week. So some of these 400 million cells or thereabouts are destroyed right from the sexual organ of the woman. They are destroyed right from the vagina of the woman. So if the chemicals that destroy them are so active from the sexual organ of the woman, more than is ordinarily destroyed becomes destroyed. Do you understand? If 10% of that is destroyed from the chemicals that are released, but because she has hyperactive and sensitive, very destructive chemicals, maybe she destroys over 50%. So you see, it increases the inability of those sperm cells to swim. So the probability of access at fusion reduces. So it reduces the probability that that egg that is coming down in the fallopian tube of the woman will be fertilized by the egg. The chances are reduced because much of the cells are already destroyed. So the first possibility, they have many possibilities, but just to bring the meanings closer to us, inshallah. So the first possibility is that the cells themselves are weak. In some cases, the cells are far less than this ability, this number we mentioned. So for example, if ordinarily the average man, averagely, people should have 400 million cells in the ejaculation, and they have 100 million cells. You know, and then from these 100 million cells, 60% are destroyed at the tip before they go into the woman. You know, it further reduces the chances of fertilization. And then some of the cells themselves are weak, they can't even swim. Some are weaker, weak, far weak, they can't swim. They can't even move at all. They are just trying to move. Rather than being the strong, motile kind of thing that is normal with other kinds of people. So there are so many reasons why it is possible that the sperm cells of men cannot ordinarily fertilize the ovum from the woman. In some cases, it may be due to contraction, that is a restricted passage in the fallopian tube of the woman. Because the fallopian tube carries the egg from the woman, and like we said, the egg, it moves down it, while the sperm cells move up it. So if the tube is constricted, the egg will not be able to move. It will be moving with difficulty. And perhaps from that difficulty, because they are fragile, they get destroyed in the process. So there are some, we are just trying to say that there are some things that makes what we can refer to as natural fusion or natural fertilization to occur between these two sex cells. So this ijma, this yujma ukhalquhu, Allah from His might subhanahu wa ta'ala can still make it difficult. Even when at last subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah brings about children when He wills, despite those incapabilities from His power and mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes people make efforts, and they are not able. Such that the situation will require that the sperm cells of the men, of the man, they are isolated. Today, science has gone that far. So they can isolate the sperm cells of the man, and they can isolate that ovum of the woman, and they can create an environment where the fertilization will occur. If this fertilization is brought about, because sometimes they can make some surgery and all that and other techniques, and they can make the fertilization to still occur inside the fallopian tube in cases when the tube itself is expansive enough, but the problem is with the sperm cells, they can't move. So those people have the ability to say, yes, the egg can still come, but we can make the sperm cells to come if the sperm cells are not strong enough. So they make the sperm cells to go. So if they make this, they make the sperm cells to go, and there is fertilization occurring in the tube, this one is called internal insemination, artificial insemination. So it is called internal because the insemination, the fertilization occurs inside the woman. But when the sperm cells are not strong enough, or it's a case where the fallopian tube is constricted and the egg cannot move, they separate the egg right from its place of handle, ovule, right? So they remove the egg from there, and they get the sperm cells of the woman, of the man. They are ordinarily active. So they get them outside, and they get that of the man also outside, and they fertilize it outside the woman. This is called external artificial insemination. They are artificial because they are not like the one we describe ordinarily that occurs. Do we understand? That's why they are artificial. So the artificial can be either internal or they could be external. So this is the situation. So in what circumstance will this be permissible in the Sharia? In what is it ordinarily permissible? Have the scholars know of it? Because sometimes people insult the ulama. They say those ulama are like Faisal. They say those ulama, Abdullah Faisal, the Jamaican Tafsiri. They say those scholars, they don't know modern science. They don't know modern matters because of their own ignorance of the knowledge and erudition of the scholars. So they think that the scholars do not know something because of their own ignorance, not knowing that the scholars know it. They have ruled on it. It is you who don't know what the scholars ruled on. So from the first questions the scholars were asked, and I would like to reiterate, is all of this explanation that I have given. I have read less than 20% of it from the English sources. Most of it, wallahi, were from Arabic sources. All what I've been describing. So some of the scholars we have asked. It says, ما هو التلكيح الصناعي وما هي أحكامه. التلكيح الصناعي is artificial insemination. التلكيح, to put something into something, to fuse something, two things. الصناعي is artificial. It is not original. So they are asking the ulama, ma huwa tilkih al-sana'i, what is it? What is artificial insemination? I think they are medical doctors. So, and they are saying, wa ma akhtamuhu, and how, what number, what thing is hadith done? If we are not discussing this hadith, if you come here and ask me, please, mala, what is artificial insemination? I'll say, don't ask me, go and ask doctor. You understand? So, they say, alayhim rahmatullah, radiyallahu hafizahum Allah, they say that التلكيح الصناعي, that artificial insemination, هو كل طريقة أو صورة يتم فيها التلكيح الإنجاب بغير الاتصال الجنسي الطبيعي. They say it is كل طريقة, every means, they've not restricted it, every means. أو صورة approach يتم فيها التلكيح الإنجاب that can bring about تلكيح الإنجاب fusing zygote, fusing, bringing about the zygote, bringing about the fusion between the male sex cells and the female sex cells. They said بغير الاتصال الجنسي without the natural coming together of the man and the woman, the ordinarily existing way a man comes together with a woman and the sex self travels ordinarily to reach the double. The aside this, any other way, any other manner that we bring about this, it is called artificial insemination. Between a man and his wife. They say, "How huwa istidkhalul maniyyi rahmal mar'ati biduni jima'." See, in another definition, it is inserting the sex cells of men into the woman without conjugal relations. How is that? You say, "Wahuwa yankosimu ila kismain." You say, it is divided into two parts. The first one, they say, "At-talqiqu dakhili." They said, insemination, that is what? Dakhili, internal insemination. They say, well, the second one is "At-talqiqu sana'i al-khariji." The second one is artificial insemination, that is what? Khariji, outside, external. They say, "Ammal awwal." We do not need to go into that. The explanation they are giving here is the explanation we had given before. Like I said, I brought this up to us so that it will not be as if this girl, "No, man, they don't know, they are just talking." They know what they are talking about. Wallahi, if you read some of the details, they are saying there are about 8 ways these things come up. And they mention all the 8 ways. The ones that are permitted in the Sharia, they mention it. We will try to mention some of them as much as time will permit. Bismillah. So, these things started to happen in 1978, as the Encyclopedia in Qatar says. In 1978, there was a first test of IBAT from what they refer to as test tube babies. The issue of test tube comes in because for those ones that are referred to as external, they take place in some artificial environment. That's why some of the scientists say that it is wrong to call them test tube babies, because they are not really given, but the situation is, the function is only brought about in environment outside the womb. Not necessarily that the pregnancy lasted all through inside the test tube, because test tube actually do not sustain a pregnancy. You can't, all what happens during the stages of pregnancy, you can't take place in the test tube. So after the fusion, they have to return the zygote into the womb of a woman. We'll come back to that, inshallah. So this is the connection between artificial insemination, surrogate motherhood, and the issues of test tube babies. There's a question here, one of the scholars will ask, that ma hukmu shar'i fi amaliyyat at-talqih hadhihi? What is the ruling of this artificial insemination in the Sharia? What is its ruling? So they say that Ja'a fil fiqh al-islami wa adillatuhu, a book referred to as al-fiqh al-islami wa adillatuhu, that at-talqih as-sana'i, that artificial insemination, is istikhad al-maniyyi rahm al-mar'ati bidun jima', it is inserting the male sperm cells to the woman without conjugal relation. It says, "فَإِذَا كَانَ بِمَاءِ الرَّجُلِ," if it is with the sex cells of the man, لِذَوْجَتِهِ, into his wife, meaning, and the egg of the woman, his wife, جَازَ شَرْعًا. So this one is permissible in the Sharia. There is لَا مَحْذُورَ فِيهِ, because there is nothing that prevents us. It does not appear to pose any danger. There is nothing preventing her. Just appearing something ordinary. She has an inability, or he has an inability. These inabilities are being corrected. So ordinarily, between a man and his wife, we can't sense any danger. So it is something, jawa, is permissible for those who like to do it in the Sharia. It's a bad, but yundabu is a kind of unaka mani on Sharia. Mean it's the soil agency. You see, even we can even say it is recommended and supplementary if there are difficulties that will prevent the ordinary fusion of the two sex cells of men, of the man and his wife. Underline these words, the man and his wife. The issue is there are what they refer to as semen banks. in the West. They collect the semen of any kind of human beings, men. They collect them together. And any woman who has such problems, fallopian tube constriction and all these kind of things, or a man who has, they just use any tube and put it into the stomach of one woman. And this one is predicted in the Sharia. It is only the permissible ethical clause between the man and his wife. So all what we are describing regarding these forms of insemination is between a man and his wife. When it occurs between a man and other than his wife, it is considered zina. We'll come back to that, inshallah. It says, Amma is a kind of ima'i. It says, Amma is a kind of ima'i. Rajulin ajnabiyun anil mar'ati la zawaja baynahuma fahuwa haram. But if it is between a man, the sex self of a man, and another woman, in between the both of whom there is no marriage, then this one is prohibited. لِأَنَّهُ بِمَعْنَ zina, because it has the implications of zina. الَّذِي هُوَ إِلْقَاءُ مَاءِ رَجْلٍ فِي رَحْلِ إِمْرَأَةٍ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا زَوْجِيَةٍ. Because zina is that a man brings his own semen into another woman when there is no marriage in between the two of them. So if it occurs between a man and other than his wife, it is zina. Or a woman and other than her husband, it is zina. But when it occurs between a man and his wife, ordinarily it is permissible. And when there are constrictions leading them to that, it is also recommended in that case. There are about eight, like I said, forms that the scholars have mentioned. This matter is very detailed. But because we have other matters too, we'd like to also discuss some of issues of abortion. We like also to discuss issues of a child being deformed in the womb and being confirmed from scanning and other scientific tests that the child is deformed. What does the Sharia say about all this? And also we hope to touch these issues one after the other. The first form that the scholars mentioned from the eight forms that occur is the fact that the sex cell of a woman, of a man, the sex cell of a man comes to a woman that is not his wife. Then when the zygote thing is gotten ready, it is put into his own wife. The man, he has a wife, but the wife perhaps cannot produce eggs. So they get another woman, they get the egg of another woman that lies with the sperm cells of the husband and then implant it into the womb of his own wife who cannot produce eggs. Do we understand? So the fusion is between the sperm cells of a man and another woman. Don't forget, we have said that surah is a surah of what? Zina. Apply the second one. It occurs between, it's something similar to the first one in any case. A case where it is not between the two egg cells, the two cells of the man and a wife. It's a foundation rule, it's a basic rule regarding these issues of insemination. In fact, there's a fatwa by one of the scholars. He was asked that if a man has two wives, one of the wives can produce eggs, the other one can't produce eggs. Can we get the egg of, let's say the first wife can produce eggs, the second wife can't produce eggs. Can we get the eggs of the first wife, implant it with the semen of the husband, and then, fuse it, fertilize it with the semen of the husband, and then implant it into the womb of the second woman who has problems with egg production or something like that, such that she can't have her egg fertilized? Can we do that? Some of the scholars say yes, we can do it. That is part of assisting the woman, it's part of bringing joy to the family, and they give reasons. But what is most authentic is, and where the matter goes back to, is who becomes the mother of the child. So we'll come back to, we'll mention that when we are talking about the mother of the child. Because, like we said, when the egg fuses to the semen, genetic properties are exchanged between sex cells. Genetic properties are not brought about because a zygote stays in the womb of a woman. The exchange of genetic properties comes about, we said it, yeah, the female, the sex cell of the man carries like an atomic head bomb, carrying an atomic bomb on his head, so it transfers into that of the woman, and the mix up and differentiation commences. So who has the mother? Who has the child in between the two of them? Somebody has the egg? We'll come back to that. So all these forms, they are not permissible. There was a form that the scholar permitted, and this is this one that I have mentioned. You know, it also takes between a man and his wife. The area of problem is it was implanted into another woman. But it is not zina because the woman is also his wife. So, but its prohibition came from the angle of who owns the child, who claims motherhood. That's also the issue of surrogate motherhood. The second woman into whom the egg and the zygote was implanted is called surrogate mother. So, who owns the child? I think these are the basic rules. But before we go ahead, let's mention also some of the conditions that have been placed generally on the permissibility of this artificial insemination between husband and wife. They say, "Antakuna zawjiyya tufa ima." Marriage must be established between a man and a woman before they can do that. The second condition, "An yakuna zalika biridha zawjayn." That must be, the activity must be done with the permission and the pleasure of the two people in marriage, the man. And his wife, they must both agree. The third condition, أن يأمنوا أن يأمن اختلاط الأنساب بوجود ضمانات لنقل وعدم استعمال غير مني الزوج. There must be أمن الاختلاط. We must be sure اختلاط الأنساب that the procedure does not bring about mix up of genealogy. Which is what the issue of surrogate motherhood will bring about. Do you understand? It will bring about mix up of genealogy. Someone gave birth to another child, but someone is having the genetic properties. So the procedure must not bring about something that makes it up. Or in the Western world where people don't care, you just get the sex cell of any man, put it there. The both of them came, but they don't care because they want the money. Because these procedures are expensive. So they want the money, purely economical. They have the money. So it must take place in purely some places where a mix up of genealogy is not either feared or actualized. We must be sure that genealogy will not mix up in the process. Such as there is Adam is Rimali Raya Mani is Zouj. Wabuya is Zouji. Or a situation where the egg of another woman, like we said, they could use the sperm cells of another woman, and they could also use the egg of another woman other than his wife. So we must avoid all those things. This must be assured in every level, in every level of the insemination. For example, they can inseminate between husband and wife A. Fuse between their cells, and then fuse between sex cells of husband and wife B. In the end, they implant the zygote of husband and wife B into wife C, and implant cross-sectionally like that. All of this must be avoided. We must be sure that none of this has occurred, and that's why there is a first condition that أن يقوم بهذه العملية لجنة طبية موثوقة علميا ودينيا. Those people who should take care of this activity, they are firstly لجنة طبية. They are a group of medical doctors, موثوقة, trusted people. علميا, we trust their knowledge of medicine, not quacks. Me too, I said, yeah, no. So not quacks. Wadinian, and not people without being. This one is difficult. So you can have it now in the Arab world. It's in the Arab world. You can have, mashallah, people you can trust. But in Europe, Allahu Akbar, it's there. out of their kufr. Even when in cases we can find them trustworthy, like Allah said about them, but most of them, what are fear of minhum, fasiku. The most common among them is fisk. They can sell anything for anything, just pay the money. So the most the people we trusted is with regards to the knowledge they need to employ to do that job, and they must be trusted in terms of their being. See, marketing for cool means it must take place in government certified place. This is because in most of the Muslim world, it's difficult for any doctor to just stand up and start doing anything he likes. It's difficult. He can't do that. But in cases where government themselves are the people who will establish where the quack doctors who don't have deen and amana, we are the ones who will do it. They don't do it there. The way I understand, the issue is getting trusted people in their deen and in their knowledge of the medical faculty to do the job. Oh, assessing our senior team, where is the area? Oh, an established institution. But it's not just business. Segeru, Sijaria, is not just a business venture that the business we are doing here. It is what gives us that we go ahead with. We know issues of abortion. This is one of the areas that has affected it. Most people who set up clinics don't make money, except they can kill as many lives as possible. We'll come back to that in the lab. So we said in surrogate motherhood, some of the scholars say that it is permissible. Somebody who said that was Dr. Muhammad Abbas. He wrote that in a magazine called Majallatul Azhar. It's Islamic University in Jamiatul Azhar, Azhar University in Cairo. They have a magazine they release, scholars write and make contribution on issues like this. So he said that Hannal Buyeba, he is absolute janine. He is arguing that the woman who has the egg should have the child, because it is the egg that forms the basis for the fetus. Do you understand? He said, تَحْمِلُ صِفَاتِ كُلِّ مِنَ الْأُمُّ وَالْأَبُ. This egg and the sperm cells, the both of them carry all the genetic properties from the man and the woman. And even after the insemination, the properties are within the egg and the semen. Then the foundation of his upbringing, of his being fused together, of his coming together, the basis is the egg and the sperm cells. So it says كَالْبَذْرَةِ لِلنَّبَاتِ وَالرَّحَمِ. It says كَالْبَذْرَةِ لِلنَّبَاتِ. It says just like a seed. If you put a seed into the ground, into the earth for cultivation, it grows and forms the basis for it. So when you put the egg, it is the egg that forms all what you see, and you refer to as human being. It says وَالرَّحْمُ الَّذِي يَسْتَكْبِلُهَا كَالْأَرْضِ. It says the stomach is like the earth. التي توضع فيها البذرة in which the seed is placed. تمدها به من غذائي. It sustains the earth. The earth sustains it. But the fact is that the plant actually comes from the seed. It says فتهدر علاقة صاحب البيضة بالدنيا. So how are you going to cut off the relationship between the owner of the egg and the fetus? You say now the child belongs to the person carried the womb rather than the person who donated the egg. Do we know that? So his own argument is based purely on that. But the other arguments are stronger. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah said, In ummahatuhum illa Allahi waladinum. In ummahatuhum illa Allahi waladinum. The mother, their mothers are those who give birth to them. Allah said, the mothers are those who give birth to them. That's why in the Quran Allah says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا ala wahid. His mother gave birth to him giving birth, brings about motherhood. Like he said, wahnan ala wahnin. From the period she was carrying the pregnancy, never he said elsewhere, he said, hamalathu ummuhu kurha. The one who carried him in the womb, this birth is difficulty. So it meant the one who carried the child in the womb is the mother. And this verse of the Quran. Like we said at the beginning, this hadith itself, like saying, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ, indicates that the one who carries the pregnancy is the mother. And the text of the Quran. So that's ra'yu, that reasoning, that it's like the plant putting, it will not, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ الْكِيَاسُ فِي مَحَلِّ النَّفْسِ. When there is text of the Quran, no qiyas. To say, oh, we put the seed, put the law. Allah says, in ummahatuhum illa Allahi waladna. Hamalatu ummuhu kurha. Khalas. Hamalatu ummuhu. The one who carried the pregnancy is the mother. So in cases where there are people who have gone ahead to make what they refer to as surrogate motherhood between a man and his wife. Do you understand? If the surrogate motherhood between a man and other than his wife, that one is not a permissible. But surrogate motherhood is also possible between a man and his wife. When it comes between a man and his wife, its impermissibility will stem from the problem of a mother identification. It means that if you want to say no, the mother belongs to the one who donated, motherhood belongs to the one who donated the egg, you'll be mixing up lineage in the Sharia. The Sharia prohibits that. So that will make surrogate motherhood generally prohibited. Why one is basically prohibited, the other one is prohibited as a result of a secondary matter. I hope it is clear. So this is issues of motherhood of surrogate mother. The scholars went ahead. That, okay, let's assume that a man did it knowingly. You know, people know that zina is haram, but they do it. People know that zina is haram. It's difficult, especially in environments like this. It's difficult that people don't know that zina is haram. They know, but they still go ahead. That's one. Out of useless boldness, down Allah's laws. People know that riba is haram, but they do. People will be working in bank. They even name camps. No, you have to do a bank to school. They name camps. They let me in the bank. You and who? So people know Allah's rulings, but they go ahead and press on him until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah make people repent easily from this. And may He never make us have any need to have anything to do with the banks. They said, لِمَنْ يُنْسَبُ الْوَلَدُ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ. If a man now goes ahead to bring about surrogate motherhood, especially with other than his wife, or even with his wife, who are we going to affiliate the child to? So they say, إِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ الَّتِي لُكِحَتْ بِهَذَا الْمَاءَ الْغَرِيبِ غَيْرَ مُتَزَوِّجَةَ فَالْوَلَدُ يُنْسَبُ إِلَيْهَا كَوَلَدِ الزِّنَا. If the woman that was used as the carrier of the pregnancy, surrogate mother, if the woman that does not have a husband, فَالْوَلَدُ يُنْسَبُ إِلَيْهَا, the child will be bearing her name. Just like a child that is gotten out of a wedlock. A woman, a girl that's not married, says, use me. They use her. She carries the pregnancy and gives birth to him. The child, if she is Zainab, the child will bear, if the child's name is Ahmad, the child will bear Ahmad Zainab. So the child will be affiliated to her, not to the man. They say, وَلَا يُنْسَبُ إِلَىٰ صَاحِبِ الْمَاءِ. The child will not be affiliated to the one who had the nail itself. لأن معه حجر. Because his self-self, his feud, was a wasted one. He wasted the feud. وَأَمَّا إِذَا كَانَتْ زَوْجَةٌ. But if that woman is the wife of another man, any other woman, if another married woman, حَسَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ هَذِهِ الْقَدِيَّةِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has decided this kafiyah. بقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام by his saying عليه الصلاة والسلام that الولد للفراش وللآخر حجر وللآخر الحجر. الولد للفراش, the owner of the bed has a child. So his surrogate mother is the woman that has a husband. The child is affiliated to that man. So if the child's name is Ahmad, and the husband of the woman who is the surrogate mother, his name is Ishaq, that boy will be Ahmad Ishaq. So if the owner of the sperm, his name is Ismail, the boy will not be Ahmad Ismail. The boy will be affiliated to the owner of the bed upon which that surrogate mother stayed. But the ruling of what the surrogate mother did is what? Zina. This hadith that we read is true. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that al-waladu al-firash, the child belongs to the bed, walin ahiri al-hajar, and the fornicator or the adulterous woman, the stone is for her. الولد للفراش, the child belongs to the bed, وللآخر الحجر, the stone belongs to the adulterous one. The hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. So he says, فَيُنْسَبُ الْوَلَدُ إِلَى الزَّوْجِ. So the child will be affiliated to the man who married that surrogate mother. فَإِنْ كَانَ الزَّوْجِ يَقْطَعُ بِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْهُ. The husband said, this child will be my pikin. You know it happens. The woman gives birth, she's a surrogate mother, they do it korokoro. So the man says, this pikin will be my own. So it begins to become an argument. The sheikh said, فَالْمُخَلَّةُ لَهُ أَنْ يَنْكِيَ النَّسَبُ. The way out is, he will reject the affiliation. It will not be rejected. It will not be affiliated. The child will not be affiliated to him. وَيُلَاعَنُ هَذِهِ الزَّوْجَ. The woman will be brought to make in the aunt. We know the aunt. If a man accuses his wife of zina, or actually meets her during zina with another man out, but he is not able to bring about four evidences, and he reports the case to the authority, he will make what is referred to as what? A li'an. To make curses and taking of sweat, you swear and make curses. He said, وَيَفْتَقُ النِّكَاحُ. So the nikah will break if the man takes an oath that is opposite the oath of his surrogate mother wife. Do you understand? The nikah becomes broken down between the two of them. وَيَفْتَقُ نَسَبُ الْوَلَدِ مِنَ الزَّوْجِ. So that man who is the husband of the surrogate mother, the child will not be affiliated to him. He is out. So he has denied that no, no be my king. So he cut and he has gone mula'ana with the woman. And his marriage has broken down with that woman. He says, وَيُلْحَقُ بِأُمِّهِ فَقَطْ. The child becomes, you know, attached to his mother alone. وَإِنْ عَلِمَ بِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْهُ. If the man knows that this pikin, this child, is not mine, وَرَضِيَ بِهِ, but he says, yes, I like it like that. سَبَكَ نِسْبَهُ مِنْهُ. It means, to affiliate that child to him is established. وَلَكِنَّهُ يَكُونُ عَاصِمًا. But he's a sinner. The man knows that this child is not my child, now surrogate child. He says, okay, I agree. because of millions. We have seen it before, where I grew up. This very thing happened when we were kids then. A rich man, a rich woman, organized something like this, and the child became her child. She is also dead now. This woman, she's a kafira. It was a real case, not, we thought we were younger at the time, but primary school. This thing happened. In fact, on our streets, about 40 houses away from our house. So the case in town. So if it happens, the man say, yes, I agree, it's my child. Then in that case, that man who is agreeing to an illegal child is a sinner. Wala banati hadha rajul. So his men, his children who are female, mean this man who is accepting the woman, his females, anya hatajibna min hadha alwalad, they are going to make hijab away from this man, from that child that their father has accepted illegally in kana zakaran, if it is a male, or in kana tunsa, if it is a female child that this man has wrongly accepted when he knew that it is not his child. He says, فَلِنِشْتِيَافِ لَا يَتَزَوَّجُ أَبْنَاءُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ مِنْهَا. So the children, هَذَا الرَّجُلِ مِنْهَا. The children of this man who has wrongly taking that child for his child. So it is best for precaution that his male children should not marry that girl, that their father has wrongly taken as his own child. So this is the issue of affiliation, and these are the issues of artificial insemination, all discussed together, step two babies and surrogate motherhood. We see that they are connected with this hadith. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that إِنَّ أَحْلَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُدْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. There is another issue we like to look at related to a child being in the womb, and also in a way connected to this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And that is the issue of selecting the sex of a child while the child in the womb is in the womb. Not coming to know what sex the child has. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, they say that men becoming males becoming the sex of a child. They say we males have two chromosomes, sex-determining chromosomes. They refer to them as X and Y, that the women have XX. So when there is copulation and the male chromosomes overpower that of the female, such that the male donates the Y chromosome, the child, by the permission of Allah, becomes the male child. So if the male donates his X chromosome, the child becomes a female by the permission of Allah. Do you understand? So the man, the male, determines, the males determine by Allah's will what they donate, determines what the sex of the child becomes. So they donate X chromosome, the child is female. They donate Y chromosome, the child is male. Okay, when they donated these chromosomes, then there is fertilization. Allah can go 40 days. That differentiation commences. Exchange of genetic material and all those things commence. At the few times when before the sex is before we can see scientifically there is over the male has donated X or Y, that's what they can do to select the donation of Y. There are mechanisms, there are procedures that can make the doctors to select Y instead of X, or instead of leaving it to free will. There are procedures. Well, all these things should make us understand that the day of Qiyamah is real. Allah says, وَقَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. Mankind is asking, we need the possible that Allah raises it. Allah says, قَالَ. He's saying, human beings are saying, man yashmina ibama wa hiyara min. Who will bring about bones when they are already decayed? Who will, bones decayed? How will it come back to bones again? Because he is saying that Nafiya Khalqahu. He has forgotten how he was created. Allah says, Kul said to them, Yuhiha Alladhi Ansha'aha Awwala Marra. The one who created it in the beginning will bring it back. Of course. To bring about something from nothing, is it not more difficult to bring about something from something? He says, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. He knows every procedure of creation. If I want to bring you back, I know what I will do. Let me tell you what I do every day in the sea. So he brought other reasons. He said other things in Celestia. You go into the bush, you pick wood, you burn them, and then those wood were wet, they become dry, you burn them, they become dry, you burn them, they become wet again sometimes. After they had been dry, they come back to become wet. So, all these things show the power of Allah. But the question is, did they not show interference? We'll come back to that if we have the time. Yes. Is there إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْمُضَيْفَةِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. But have they not known مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ? They do not know مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Because Allah says وَيَعْلَمُ مَا everything in the womb. It is not everything that they know. Did they know his rank? Did they know how long he will live? Did they know whether he is shaki or sa'id? They don't know. Did they know which action he will start with, whether actions of the people of Al-Jannah, and he will end up with actions of the people of Jahannam? Did they know that one? So they don't know ma fil arham. They know bab ma fil arham. Some of what happens in the womb. Just like tomorrow, if you ask any one of us, well, what will happen tomorrow? I'm going to office now. Does it mean you know what will happen tomorrow? Do we understand? Yes. So, but even that, you know you will go to the office, but are you sure you will go there? Nobody is sure of that one. So that's why they also will say possibility. Possibility. Artificial insemination, they say they have between 60 to 85% success rate. That when they do it, if they do half of 100, between 60 and 80 you will survive. So percentage, they can't be 100% sure. The same way they say bad for they don't want children to be born. What do they call them? For birth control, they will also say possibilities. So they can't tell you 100%, but the 100% is part of Allah. So these things are actually determined by Allah. So they have the ability to select these chromosomes. Why? And then make it fertilize and exchange, get it exchanged and dominate that of the woman so that the child becomes a male child. So they can select, so to speak, the sex of their child before the child is born. Not issue of going to text animals, that one is something. That's why we try to explain a lot of what we have said just now. So they say, مَا الْحُكْمُ الشَّرْعِيِّ فِي تَحْدِيدِ وَاقْتِيَارِ جِنْسِ الْوَلِيدِ قَبْلَ تَخَلُّقِهِ وَوِلَادَتِهِ. What is the ruling, Islamic ruling, on determining and actually choosing the sex of a child before the child becomes formed? Because after the mudghah forms, Allah says, becomes مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرُ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. So it becomes formed or not formed. Don't forget, we have said that an angel comes at every stage. Allah, should I destroy it or I should sustain it? So, before this stage, can we select the sex? Can we choose which sex of the child we want? Some of the scholars say yes, they can select. They say yes, they can select. And from what we have said, is that it is just a means of getting goodness. Maybe in a family you have 20 girls, a man and a woman. So they need a male child. That means they want a male child. Allah, give us male, give us male. So they can select. That is from the means. It's from asbab that we have not gotten anything in the Sharia to prohibit that sabab. You say, okay. When Nabi Nuh alayhi salam was encouraging his people to say, exhorting his people to accept Islam and become Muslims, so what he said to them alayhi salatu wa salam is, he said, وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدَرَارًا وَيُمْدِدَكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. That Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam said to his people that, I said, استغفروا ربكم. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Because it's not forgiving. If you seek forgiveness from him, you will say, سَمَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِدْرَارًا. He will send regularly rains, so continuously for you from the heavens. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ. And he will make your material, your wealth, extensive. And your children. So they say, okay, from the means to seek children is istighfar. That if istighfar is a means to seek children, it means if we know any other means to seek male children, then we should follow the means. Except we have another proof to indicate that means is a prohibited means. That is from what they have said. From what they said again, is that they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Al-Malu wal-Banuna zinatul hayati dunya in Surah Al-Kahf. And that they said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Inna Allah yuhibbu an yura qasaru ni'matihi ala abdihi. That hadith was reported by Imam Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. That Allah likes that the signs of his favor are seen on his servants. The second verse is evident because if we want to be joyful, it says zinatul hayati dunya. It says Allah likes to see the signs of his favor. The children are favored. So if there's a way I can get that favor, Allah likes to see with me, should it be wrong that I get it? Especially when there is no text that prevents me from getting that favor in that manner. Now there are zinatul hayat dunya. There are nice things, adornments, ornaments from the life of this world. So if there's a way I can get that ornament from the life of this world, and there is no text to see I should not get it in that way, should that be prevented? So they say, if I can't be prevented and there's no text to say I should be prevented, then it is, I can get that zina from which is what having no children. They give what I, about 6 or 7 evidences. You see, most of them are deductive. Others say, no, you can't. That وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ سورة المائدة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and that in between the two. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah creates what he likes. Of course, he told us to say, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورًا إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورًا إِذَا يُزَوِّجُهُ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا إِذَا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. If you quote that verse to those who support artificial insemination, they will give you a response. They say that is after they have done the insemination, it does not work. It's okay, yajalu man yashaa. After you have followed the means, like he says, he also enriches whom he likes. Inna Allah yarzuku man yashaa. Allah yarzuku man yashaa. So this means you should not look for means of this. يَجَالُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَكِيمًا. Does it mean you should stay like that as Hakim? You should not look for means of not being an Hakim. But if you look for the means and you didn't get it, so يَجَالُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. These discussions are free discussions. They are not as if it's not a fatwa session at all. We just reading and try to educate ourselves. We can go ahead and do some more studies, but some of what we have said would be like such lights to make us know how and where and like some giving us some background information, inshallah. This house not be respected, so person will have to another so that it will be an easy, you know, discussion. So they say that. إذا كان الله تعالى قد أراد جنسا وتلك مشيئته فلا يجوز الاعتراض على هذه الإرادة ومشيئته فالمسألة لها تعلق بالعقيدة. وإذا كان الله سبحانه وتعالى has described that he has destined that the child should be made and that is from his will and wish, then it is not permissible for anybody to be interfering trying to change that decision of Allah and will. Therefore, the matter is one that has to do with what? Our Aqidah, our belief. So don't interfere in Allah's creation. That is, so it's not permissible to select or determine the sex of a child. Please, when we say determine the sex, we are not saying scanning. And the child is already from 8 months pregnancy. Go and check. What is it? They are male. That's not what we are talking about. I think we explain what we are talking about when we say sex selection. So they mention that. So they also say that إِنَّ تَحَكُّمَ فِي جِنْسِ الْجَنِينِ نَوْعٌ مِنْ تَغْيِيرِ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ فَيُمْنَعُ مِنْهُ. So to be changing or determining or choosing the sex of a child is a form of changing what Allah has created. So don't change it. You know, Shaitan in Surah Nisa, Allah told us about what he said. That he says, وَلَعَمُرَنَّهُمْ وَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. I will command people, يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. They will be changing what Allah has created. So to be interfering in the sex of the child and what it comes, in what form does it come, it's like changing what Allah has created. So don't change what Allah has created. Avoid it. Avoid it. So they use it as an evidence to say that it's not permissible to interfere, to determine the sex of the child. Like in this author has quoted, and he is Sheikh Abu Ubay Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Ahmad al-Isawi. The title of the book is Ithafu Kulil al-Ba'ab Bihukuki Fifi wa Ahkamihi Fi Su'ali wa Jawab. All of the book is talking about the child. The child. And the rulings of Sharia affect the child. So what he did is, he went into the books of the scholars earlier and later and compiled their fatwa from the beginning of why should we have children? So he started discussing the child in the womb, the child, and he's been very, very modern in his approach. Because he's quoting from all these sources. They are rich in all these matters. So we are just reading his work. So he said that Abdul Rashid Qasim has had a bahab, a research. If I'm not mistaken, he had mentioned that it is one of the best work that he had read on some of these issues. He said that the summary of that research work, after detailed study, because all of these issues we are discussing, they are not issues of just look at it in 2 days. And then you have a position. No, there are issues that over time require a lot of study of issues of usul, issues, verses of the Quran, thinking deeply about it, what the meaning, the companions see, and seeing from where evidences can be deduced and all. So it's something that takes a lot of time. So that's why we make it so relaxed, just reading what some of us have attained from their research work. So he said that the title of the book is Ikhtiyaru Jinsul Jinn. So someone wrote a whole book on that. Choosing the sex of a child, the research work. I think it's a PhD work in one of the departments of Sharia in the Muslim world. He said this researcher said that يَظْهَرُ لِي وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. What appears to me, and Allah knows best, أَنَّ الْإِسْتِفَادَةَ مِنَ الْوَسَائِلِ الْمُعِينَةِ عَلَى اخْتِيَارِ جِنْسِ الْجَنِينِ فِي الْحَالَةِ الْأُولَى جَائِزٌ. What appears most evident, most preponderant to me is that it is permissible from the first stage to select or determine the sex of the child. وَتَرْكُهَا and not to do so رِضًا بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ فهو أفضل. But not to be being pleased with whatever Allah decides for you is the best. كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Like the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم says, وَأَمْتَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُمْ حَزِنَ النَّاسِ. Be pleased with what Allah has determined for you. تَكُمْ حَزِنَ النَّاسِ. You'll be from the richest of people. And this hadith was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. That hadith of Abu Huraira. It's a wonderful hadith. One day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was near the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, من يأخذ مني خمسا ويعمل بها ويعلم من يعمل بها. Who will take five words from me, act upon them, and then teach the one who will act upon it? Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, قلتُ أنا يا رسول الله. I said, myself, O Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَخَذَنِي بِيَدِي. The Prophet held him by his hand. فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ. The Prophet counted five things, saying that اتَّقُوا الْمَحَارِمْ تَقُوا أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Run away from prohibited matter. Anything here that Allah prohibits, run away from it. تَقُوا أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. You'll be from the most devout of the servants of Allah. Haram, any haram, run away. Allah will like you. You'll be soon, you'll be devoted to Him in reverence. So He says, اتَّقُوا الْمَحَارِمْ. Run away from prohibited matter. اتَّقُوا أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. And I say, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَقُوا أَجْنَ النَّاسِ. Be pleased with what Allah gives you. You'll be from the richest of people. Those people who don't approach people to borrow money from them, they are always looked at as rich. Yes. So don't always rely on the people. Be pleased with what Allah has given you. You go, you walk, you get something else. Pleased with it. If you are pleased with it, تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ تَكُنْ أَجْنَ النَّاسِ. You'll be from the richest of men. He says, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Like for others what you like for yourself. You be a mu'min. He says, وَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. If you want to be a nice Muslim, be nice to your neighbor. You be a nice Muslim. And now said, وَلَا تُكْسِرُ الضَّحْكَ. Don't be laughing all the time. فَإِنَّ كَسْرَةَ الضَّحْكِ تُمَيْتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because much of laughter destroys the heart. So today, unfortunately, Muslims will buy DVD of laughter. They will put it and be laughing. And they will kill their souls. So when you hear Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, say, let's quickly finish this episode. Because the heart is dead from those laughters they are watching. We ask Allah to save us from that evil. So all of that has to do with selecting sex before birth. In fact, before sex determination. Before natural sex determination. So the sex, Allahu Alam, can be determined. Because there are no clear court verses that indicate their impermissibility. And they are from means to achieving what Allah encouraged us about. And that is children, having male children, having. In fact, some of the scholars say that if a man has a number of female children and he doesn't have any male child, he will have problems of having to travel with each of the male children, each of the female children every time. Any of them has to travel. But if you have some male children too, you can travel and the male can travel. That is from the needs that can make a man to like to have male children. That is not to say Islam in any way dislikes that a man has female children. Of course, in fact, in other cases they say that it may be that the man has a lot of male children and there is nobody to assist the mother in assisting the home to take care of, cook the home, cook, wash the place, and do things women do ordinarily. So the man may need female children. It's not only male children that we may have a need for. You may also have need for female children. Allah Hu Akbar. Abortion. Ijhad. Ijhad in Arabic, in English, is abortion. That someone gives someone, of course, that's after the stage of ijma, but before delivery. And so, whatever is done when the fetus is removed from the womb, either by the woman or through other procedure from the womb of the woman, then we say abortion has occurred. So what does the Sharia say about abortion? He said that وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْفُقَهَا عَلَىٰ تَحْرِيمِ الْإِجْحَامِ بَعْدَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءُ الْفُقَهَا عَلَىٰ تَحْرِيمِ الْإِجْحَامِ بَعْدَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ. The scholars are agreed on the prohibition of aborting a pregnancy after life is blown into it. That is after how many days? After 40 days? After 120 days? After 120 days? Or 40 days? When is life blown into the fetus? Is it 40 days or 120? The first 120 days. Because we have said that the riwayah of Nusfatan is authentic. Inna ahadakum. That's why all those lengthy discussions last week. That it is affirmed that Nusfatan occurs in that hadith. So if it is taken that the Nusfatan does not occur in the hadith in 40 days, and what is authentic, Allahu A'lam, is Nusfatan occurs in that hadith authentically from authentic sources. So it is after 120 days. We will see, the scholars will see them talking about it. Inshallah. So he said, وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْفُقَهَا عَلَىٰ تَحْرِيمِ الْإِلْحَابِ بَعْدَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ. The scholars of Islamic jurisprudence agreed that it is prohibited that one abort a pregnancy after life is blown into it. That is after the first 120 days. Because he said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً. First 40 days, نُطْفَةً. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Another 40 days, 80. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Because مُضْغَة for another such period, 120 days. He now says, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَجُونَ. Don't forget, we said, نَفْخُ الرُّوحِ and كِتَابَ. Which one comes first? Kitaba comes first before Nafku Ruh. So the Malaika comes and writes Nafku Ruh and Kitaba, which one comes first? Summa yursalu ilayhi al-malak fa yanfukhu fihi ruh. Now Kitaba comes first. Because this hadith we are reading, don't forget, we have said that apparently it is assumed that Kitaba comes second. But that the riwayah of Imam Bukhari makes it clear that Kitaba comes first before Nafku Ruh. So the life is blown into it. And the Qadar is written. So after the first 120 days, it is not permissible to abort the pregnancy. After the first 120 days, it is not permissible. We are coming to its details, inshallah. It is not permissible to abort a pregnancy. And this is by the consensus of the scholars of Islamic jurisprudence. It says, "Amma qabla al-nafsi wa fihi khilaf." But before the 120 days, there is a difference of opinion. This author says, "Walladhi yabdu li wallahu a'lam." But what is apparent to me, and Allah knows but knows this, is that annahu la yajuzu istadu nufatin hiya asli al-walad. Is that it is not permissible to destroy the nutfa, the zygote, which is the foundation for having the child, illa li uzrin shar'iyyin, except for a serious, uzrin shar'iyyin, a serious difficulty that the Sharia recognizes. Li uzrin shar'iyyin, a difficulty that comes upon the woman that the Sharia recognizes. قال الإمام ابن جوزي. الإمام ابن جوزي في كتاب أحكام النساء, in his book أحكام النساء, he said page 108 to 109. He says, لما كان موضوع النكاح لطلب الولد وليس من كل الماء يكون الولد. He said, while bearing in mind that موضوع نكاح from the basic reasons of marriage is having children. وليس من كل الماء. And it is not from every ejaculation that a man has that children come from. فإذا تكون when a child now comes from the from an ejaculation. Do you understand? He is saying, you meet your wife all the time, you ejaculate, you do so many things, the child does not come. When it now comes, he says, when the infusion now occurs and there is fertilization, he says, one of what we intended before we got married, do you understand? Which is childbearing has come. He says, فتأمل إسقاطه مخالفة لمراد الحكمة إلا أنه he said فقد حصل المقصود. What we wanted has come. He says, فتأمل إسقاطه, to now intend to destroy these petals, مخالفة is contradiction, acting away لمراد الحكمة from what we had wanted, from the wisdom we had married for in the first place. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي أَوَّلِ الْحَمْلِ. He said, except if it is at the beginning of the pregnancy listing, it has not ended there. He says, وَقَبْلَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ, and before the soul is blown into it, that is the first 120 days. فَإِذَا, he says, وَقَبْلَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ, and before the soul is blown into it, he says, وَقَبْلَ نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ, before the soul is blown into it, فيه اسم كبير, there is great sin in doing so. Do we understand? Before the soul is blown into it, فيه اسم كبير. To destroy the pregnancy is great sin. لأنه مطرق إلى الكمال وسار إلى التمام. Because that zygote is going, it is going ahead, developing from one stage to another, leading to its end. Do you understand? So it is not permissible to cut off that movement, that spontaneous movement. Don't cut it off. Leave it, let it go. It says, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ أَقَلُّ إِثْمًا, except that its sin is lesser, مِنَ الَّذِي نَفَخَ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ, from the sin is lesser than that one which occurs after the soul has been blown into it. فَإِذَا أَعَمَّتَ إِسْقَاءَ مَا فِيهِ الرُّوحِ, if you now deliberately abort a child that soul has been blown into it, that is after the 120 days, he says, كَانَ كَقَتْلِ مُؤْمِنٍ, it's like killing a believer. The soul is blown, now see. It says, وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Those souls that are buried will be asking on the day of Qiyamah, the ayyi zambin kutilat, what was my sin for which you killed me? You know, in the pre-Islamic times, the Arabs used to bury their female children alive. So they are the ones called maw'uda. So what is buried? What is buried? So some of the scholars have said, the fact that the child is in the womb is also concealed. So when you kill that child, it will also ask you on the day of Qiyamah, the ayyi zambin kutilat, for what reason, for what sin did you kill me? For what sin did you kill, take my life? So after the first 120 days, the ijma'il fuqaha kama nukila huna, with the consensus, based on the consensus of the fuqaha as mentioned here, it is not permissible to destroy or abort a pregnancy after the life has been blown into it. This is also the position of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Wasaymi alayhi rahmatullah. This is even when some of the scholars say that before the soul is blown into it, the reason why it is lesser is because the soul has not been blown into it. So what it will require to destroy, to abort a child before the soul is blown into it, is lesser. You understand? It's not seen, you know, like the one the life is already blown into. So it would mean that the extent of the difficulty that will come up to a woman that can make her destroy a pregnancy before 120 days is lesser than the difficulty that can come upon her after 120 days. Because Allahu Alam, it appears that the most sound opinion is that even after 120 days, when it is life-threatening, after some things have happened, the pregnancy can be terminated. We'll mention that, inshallah. And that's the fatwa of Lajnat Da'imah. Even when people like Sheikh Uthaymeen say no, that the life, even when the life of the woman is threatened, the pregnancy should not be aborted. He is saying, like others are saying too, that you don't have any guarantee that the child threatens the mother. So if you kill the child, the mother will leave. There is no guarantee. If you kill the child, you abort the child, saying that the mother is threatened, that she will leave after you have killed the child, you can't guarantee that. The only one who can guarantee that is Allah. So there is no surety. And they are also saying that you cannot also take a life to save a life. They are both lives and they all have rights. And the other life, the life of the child, Allah says about it, like it says about the life of the mother too. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. They say this haq. Because the haq is mentioned in the Sharia. أُمِرْتُ أَنُ قَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولِ اللَّهُ. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ أَصَمُوا مِنِّي. So from it is that they make shahada, they are Muslims. In this child, no one is a Muslim. And he now said again, he said, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. In the riwayah, that the hadith that Abu Bakr used to fight the people of Zakah, this child is not liable to pay Zakah. So for what reason will you kill a child? وَلَا تَقْتِلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. What is the haq which wants to make you kill this child because of the mother? They also say that when two people are traveling, a man and his father, they are traveling, and they are both hungry, about to die, will the man kill his father to eat? Or will the man kill his son to eat because he's hungry? That even when that child, one of them dies, is it permissible for the mother to eat the flesh of that one who is dead? So if it's not permissible even for a life that's existing, the life is the same life. So it's a very strongly discussed matter. But others say, okay, yes, the child has a life and the woman has a life. But the life of the woman and the rights of the fetus follow the life and the rights of this woman. Do you understand? The life of the fetus and the rights of the fetus follow the life and the rights of this woman. So it means she has a greater grasp to life and rights than the fetus. So if we have to decide which one of them we have to take, then it would mean that we would take that of the woman and leave that of the child. But the other issue comes that, are you sure that if we take the life of the child, the woman will leave? Why not leave the matter to the one who gives and takes life? Don't interfere. So it's a serious matter, Allahu Alam. It's a serious one from after 120 days. But before 120 days, where if the life of the woman is threatened, you can remove the pregnancy because the life is not blown into it at the time. So that's easy, is it? I think it's easy. Before 120 days, the mother's life is threatened. You are sure that it is threatened. Okay, take the life. Take that one because there's no life in it. At least from the point of view of the Sharia. Because some of the scientists will say that there is life in it, that's why there is cell growth. They say there is cell growth, so it has life, cells are still alive. If they are not alive, all those nerves and all those things will not be formed. But the fact is that the Sharia makes us understand that yunfakhu fihi ar-ruh. And that is what makes man, from the spiritual angle. Yes, man is composed of two things, his physical and his spiritual. is that in Surah Al-Fatih. So that's not easy, but after the 120 days, it's a difficult matter. But even those who say that it is permissible, they say that it must be sure from series of medical tests carried out by people whose knowledge and deen is trusted before we can say we can go ahead and take the life of the child for the mother to exist. Allahu alam. It's a difficult, it's a serious matter because you can't, there are questions that are posed by the other people that we may not be able to find response to, such as that. Are you sure that if you kill the mother will leave? So leave the matter to the one who has given the two of them life. So the others now say, okay, but if we leave the child to leave and we leave the mother to leave and the mother dies, what will happen to the child? They say it's simple. Sheikh Uthaymeen was even saying that it's even simple now than ever. That because there are procedures now, easily in the next 5-10 minutes you can separate the living child from the dead mother. The other people say in most cases, even after separation, the child may not leave. That because the procedures may not be sound enough to support the life of the woman. But we know that these procedures are advancing by the day. So these are what the discussions have come from left and right. Allahu alam. But for a person to abort a pregnancy because I'm a salary earner and my salary is small, my mother doesn't want me to be pregnant now, because people even now take lives of fetus because my mother didn't like the child, so we have to kill. I think the mother has given life to the fetus. And things like this, people say so many flimsy things now. When the matter even concerns the life of the mother, now it's difficult to say which one is should be do, or is encouraged, or is permissible. Talk less of for all these reasons. So these reasons are flimsy reasons. I'm a low salary earner. Allah says, "Nahnu narzukukum, nahnu narzukuhum wa iyyam." We are the one who he says, "Ma min da'batin fil ardi illa 'ala Allahi rizquha." ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها. So Allah says, don't forget, the cat be risky, he is there. They have written his own risk, so don't worry. He's not coming to share your own risk. He's coming with his own risk. So don't kill the child. Don't kill the child. Let them leave. So for all those flimsy reasons, no salary earner, ha ha ha. Many people in our alternative to that, they've gone to planned parenthood as Nigeria. And the illnesses they have gotten from all those planning, some of them are worse than the pains of carrying pregnancy for which they will be rewarded. Yes. There is no safe method, as they say. There is no planned parenthood method, as they say, except that it has adverse effects. Anyway, this is what I read from Encyclopedia. I read this from, so I'm not a medical doctor. But they say anyway, scientists say there is no method except that it has. There are even some of them that can make the woman go insane instantaneously. She will go mad in the house. Sometimes she can be mad with you. She will get this laugh when the others are around. because she does not want to be pregnant. And there are some others that can get the woman to bleed profusely. She will just be bleeding like that. Why are you running away? Don't forget the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will still create what He will create. Why do you want to kill yourself? Allah will still create what He will create. Some people have been meeting with their wives. If it is possible to collect their semen in a cup and tell their wives to position herself and then they fall into her so that she can be pregnant, but Allah has not permitted it. So you Allah permitted your own, you say you want to kill it. From the greatest of injustices anybody can do. Allahu Allah. That is about abortion. We have, the time is past tense. We have two other serious issues, or three, or four. If a child is deformed in the womb of the mother, what should be done? With a deformed child. found child in the womb of the mother. What are we going to do? Because there are tests today, this generation is the one of which generation. They are just discovering everything. Yesterday I was thinking that how do these cell phones work? I was just thinking this stuff. Somebody just going on the machine. Somebody is in the US. Or somebody is in Dubai. 8 hours. Lagos Dubai. 8 hours. 8 tiring hours. This is just doing complaining like this. Hello, salamu alaikum. You be talking. At the same time, if he's hearing, you are hearing or hearing, both parties are hearing themselves. We know exchange of rays and all these, but I think it's beyond that. It's just that Allah gives us the permission to do it. Karamna bani Adam. I think that is the real thing there. Else the discovery itself would not be done. Allah just say, I give you, do it. But be sure, I will raise you up. But if you that I created do that, what about me who created you? So all those things point out to issues of iman. Unfortunately, the people do it and turn it to the matters of kufr. Yes! If you can hear somebody from Dubai without wire connection, I mean, is there any wire on your phone that runs to Dubai? Why don't you think that everything you say, Allah hears it even when it's above the seven heavens? Why don't you think that Allah does that? Why will you deny the punishment in the grave? If you can do this. Someone was telling me yesterday, he lived in the UK. He said, if you phone, you stand and you are phoning, the police can know where you made the phone call, the spot. He said, yes. In one of the tribunal cases in one of the southwestern states, did they not bring the conversation between chairman of tribunal and the state governor? Yes. They brought the discussion between chairman of tribunal when they are raising the millions for who will win the tribunal. Say, oh, you said this or so. If you can do that, why can't Allah bring back all of what you have said on the day of Qiyamah? He even told you, he said, my resistance will be calling. You do not say anything except there are people watching you and taking records. So why do you doubt that? So these matters, if there are people who should have a lot of demands based on human thinking, it is the people of this generation. Unfortunately, they are persecuted. Many people have to suffer. If a person is deformed and there is a way, I think the sign is carry. Summarily, if a child is deformed and it is confirmed that the child is really deformed, some of the scholars say that if it is before 100 and the first 120 days, it can be removed because it will bring difficulty, again, reasons and all that. The fetus can be removed. But one of the doctors from the Jamia Al-Malik Abdelaziz University, King Abdelaziz University in Riyadh, he is saying that in Jeddah, he is saying that it may not be possible to determine these deformations before the first 120 days. Is it true? So that aspect of activity before 120 days, leave it aside. The scholars reply and say, no, knowledge can advance tomorrow such that we are able to determine it. They say, so leave it like that. It's here. Leave it. Tomorrow, they can come and say, oh, there is one instrument they can use before, say, leave the ruling like that. If it is before 120 days, yes. But after 120 days, when life is blown into it, فَلَاتَ تُلِنَّكَ لَكِ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَكِ do not take a soul that Allah has created and honored except for a right. The question is, that the soul is deformed, is it a right for you to kill the soul? Do we understand? The reason, is it a reason for you to kill the soul that the soul is deformed? Is it a right? إِلَّا بِالْحَكِ Is it right for you to destroy the soul because the soul is deformed? So in extensive discussions, they say that things like these are not permissible. And they quoted the hadith that reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإثم ثلاث. It is not permissible to take the life of any Muslim who testifies that Allah is one and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is messenger. Of course, the children in the womb testify that. Don't ask, are they testifying? They are Muslims. Even if the father is a kafir. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. It is their parents who turn them to whatever they become. The fitra is Islam. He says, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى ثلاث. It is not permissible to take the life of the one who testified that none deserves the worship except Allah. And that I am Allah's messenger, except in one of three cases. As-sayyibu zani. Somebody who is married and has copulated in a marriage who now commits adultery. It is right to take the life of such person. Who will not to be loved. Someone who kills somebody, it is right to kill such person. وَالْتَارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِكُ لِلْجَمَعَةِ. And the one who leaves Islam, abandoning the group of Muslims, killing, he says, مَنْ بَدَّ لَدِينَهُ وَقْتُلُوهُ. The one who changes his religion, killing. So, another who commits zina, the child in the womb, that he thinks he should destroy his life, did he commit zina? Did it? Enough to be nasty. Did the child kill somebody? Didn't kill. Or did the child leave Islam? So what is the reason? He says, إلا بالحج. ولا تقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحج. What is the حج which will make you kill this so-called deformed child? So, and then we should understand that some of these things, Allah makes them to occur from His hikmah, from His divine wisdom. So we should allow some of these things to go like that. Someone is, the child has a liver that is longer than it should be. So if any person who has that kind of a liver lives and it lives in difficulty, they have to be running so. If you give that to that one, Allah may not make it run anything else. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you give that to a child that is like this in the womb, if you give that to the child will be seeking like this. You may give that to that one, and that one don't seek like that. Allah just wants to make you understand that those postulates are not definite. They are exceptions to the rule. Yes, we say nutfa is from the sexual cells of men and women. What of that of Nabi Isa Alisa? Is it from men and women? Yeah? Hawa, is it from man or woman? Our great grandmother. Is it also from Hawa? Is it also from men and women? Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Is it also from men and women? Yakhluqu ma yasha. The limit. So if you don't have a reason to take a life, don't take a life. Because the life will ask you on the day of Qiyamah, the end is ending, it's a life. What did I do for which you killed me? The time is fast spent. There are similar other issues that we would have loved to discuss. Like, we can read those ones up in other books, inshallah. All of these, we are just trying to bring benefit from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That he said that Haddathani As-Sadiqul Maqdum. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truthful one who is believed. And when Allah promised the Prophet, he fulfilled what he promised. That's another meaning of Maqdum. Allah fulfilled the promise he gave to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that he said alayhi salatu wasalam that inna ahadakum yujma'u qalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman nutfatan thumma yakunu 'alaqatan mithla dhalik thumma yakunu mudghatan mithla dhalik thumma yunfakhu fihi ar-ruh thumma yursal ilayhi al-malak fayanfukhu fihi ar-ruh ونؤمر بأربع كلمات بكسب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد. ووالله الذي لا إله غيره وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة عمل أهل النار فيدخلها. وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها. رواه البخاري. I think most other parts of the hadith, we have tried to bring one or two benefits from them. أقولوا ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. عليكم السلام. The doctor, you want to ask me a question? I will run. Okay, go on, inshallah.
Though most of the time, my advice to them, so many people are looking for a way there. So it's a lot that I'm giving you, don't control yourself. Because of the issue of breastfeeding, they tend to want to stop breastfeeding, or that pregnancy will prevent them from.
Yeah, some of the scholars have mentioned that one of what actually stops breastfeeding is pregnancy. It's mentioned in some of the passages here that pregnancy actually, in cases, dries up the breast milk. Now, if that happens and we cannot get another person to breastfeed with her, then the pregnancy should be terminated before the first 3 months. That is, before the first 120 days. 120 days is how many months? 4 months. Before the first 4 months of the pregnancy, it's a valid reason to terminate. If it dries up, not if it will dry, if it actually dries it up and we cannot find a nursing mother, this is one of the sunnahs that we have thrown away now. People don't give people their child to nurse now, so they stay with them. It is, it was common at the time of the Prophet. It was said that from one of what by which Allah gave a lot of intelligence to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his drinking from the breast milk of Halima. The Halima was a seriously intelligent woman. Halima who breastfed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because breastfeeding impacts on the child. Breastfeeding, the breast, the kind of breast milk, I mean, and its contents, and the person, the genetic composition of the person giving the breast milk affects the child. So that the Prophet gained intelligence and smartness of the intelligence and smartness of Halima, who breastfed him. If you know women who are intelligent like that, you say, this woman, mashallah, her kind is not known. In terms of, there is a brother like that. If it's a woman, I would have wanted that my own children get breastfed from that kind of thing. But the brother is dead now. If it's memorizing Quran, you will read it only one time and that's all. One page, one time. I've asked him, he said, I don't know. One day he was ill, his mother, the parents took him to the, he was rushed to the hospital. So they got there, they forgot the card with which they would trace their folder. So his mother was running again, he said, come, I know the number. He told them, they went and checked it, it's what he said. I asked him, did you memorize? He said, no, I didn't memorize. The day I saw it, it's in my head. He said, I never read anything except that it remains in my mind. He said, sometimes he doesn't like to read something because he remained there. I was there one day, the brothers they are battling with Microsoft. They want to start, they want to install Microsoft Word XP. They are battling, they put all the code. He said, bring it. Wallahi. This brother inserted one hand, not like this. I said, Mama, did you memorize this thing? He said, no, it was the first day that he bought the software. He installed it on his own system, from then it was in his mind. I said, look, let me tell you, if it were that you had not memorized the Quran, I would have said what you did now is haram. But if the Quran is in his head. He's dead now. May Allah forgive the brother. Very, very intelligent brother. So if it's time you are to be a woman, if people like that are not fine these days, if it's time that if you are to be a woman, breastfeeding, he had a child is breastfeeding and his breast runs, I would say, please carry my children there, I go and breastfeed. So things like this are rare now. Like everybody's on his own, boko kind of life. You build one house, mold one fence, so everybody is doing his own, you come out morning, go in the work. It's kind of isolated, uninteresting, life tiring, life existence. I mean, kind of existence people live. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu
Akbar. What the name of the child? The mother of the father was Muslim, and the first, the one who killed the child from the very ancient of it. They will name the child by anything. If it is Muslims that pick the child, they can name the child Abdullah, but they will not affiliate the child to anybody.
Not to
themselves. No, there is not their child. Because it becomes wrong for women to bear the names of their husband's father. A man is Ahmad Ibn Ibrahim. He marries a wife. Because they are saying that Mrs. means the wife of. No problem. So Mrs., the boy, the man's name, the husband's name is Ahmad Ibrahim. So if Mrs. actually means the wife of, should it not be Mrs. Ahmad Ibrahim? But people bear Mrs. Ibrahim. No, it's wrong. If by what they go, they should, by what they claim they want to go, they should say Mrs. Ahmad Ibrahim. They should not say Mrs. Ibrahim. So that's the mistake in that thing. They should affiliate women to their husbands, not the fathers of their husbands. Allah says, "Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu 'inda Allah." The best is even that you affiliate the woman to her father. The woman to her father. Don't say Mrs. anything. And above all, those with whom we know Mrs. Sweet are not Muslims. Do we understand? It's the culture of a group of people and those people are not Muslims. Even when we try to find a way for it in the Sharia. Allahu Ala. Alaykum As-Salam. So the child will not be affiliated to those people that picked it up. Rather, it will be affiliated to itself. You can have its name Abdullah, Sajid, Abdullah, anything. Allahu Akbar. The rains are up there. Allah knows whether it will rain or not. But I would have suggested with some care, inshallah, perhaps next week would ask more questions so that people can go back to their destination for Salat al-Maghrib. بإذن الله أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته